You as always, even though we're few in number. It's good to be here. And we're going to read a little bit more in Matthew chapter 6. And I think that as we go on, you'll see our first reading was from the earlier chapters of Matthew. But I'm reading from Matthew 6, and I'll read from verse 1 to the end of verse 15. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you'll have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God. Last time we were thinking about the words of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. And that was, I think we saw, or should see, that that's very relevant because temptation is real. We're tempted to sin, tempted not to live the way the Lord wants us to. And we don't want to be there. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation. And we don't want to sin. We don't want to sin because it's a bad witness. We don't want to sin because it's against our Father in heaven. And so it's within the family, the Christian family, as our Father, it affects our relationship with our Father. And we don't want that to happen. It doesn't throw us out of the family, but we don't want to be tempted so that we sin. And we want to be close to our Father, and when we turn to him, he helps us, and that's why we pray, lead us not into temptation. But we don't end there. We also pray, but deliver us from the evil one. And this is what we're going to focus on this morning. I've heard of missionaries, and probably heard missionaries, who've come back from what we call third world countries. And sometimes they give an account of evil spirits. They speak very much of the obvious presence of evil and how it affects people, whether it's some sort of possession or other things that occur. They have a heightened awareness of this reality in the world when they've been in other places, in the opposition to the gospel. And sometimes that can seem strange to us, because we tend not to talk that way. The devil's working in our society, at least in a more obvious way, can fly under our radar. And we can forget that. We tick along and everything seems to be going fairly well. And so the evil one and the battles he wages can be maybe not on our minds, sin, bad things, but not personal evil one. And it's not good. And it's not good because we're reminded of it at the end of the disciples' prayer. Lead us not into temptation, which is so important. We don't want to be led into temptation because we know that we're weak. But also, we pray, deliver us from the evil one. Because we saw last time that the Lord might lead us into places where we get tempted, which people find strange. But yet, there it is. As we know, because we just read that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That can happen. And we don't need to go over that again. But then, if we're in that position where we are being tempted, we pray, deliver us from the evil one. Now, first of all, you say, well, that's not really what it said in the text. It says, deliver us from evil. Now, what's this, deliver us from the evil one? What are you doing there? And this is not just some exegetical magic. The text actually says, if we translate it woodenly, deliver us from the evil. And then it comes a question of, is it deliver us from evil, or is it deliver us from the evil one? Now, of course, both are true. We want to be delivered from evil situations where we're tempted, and it's hard for us. But we also want to be delivered from the evil one who attacks us. And why I think it's the evil, there are different reasons why you can say it's the evil one. In the NIV, it has the evil one, I believe, and in the margin of the ESV, it has the evil one. And I think that fits well, since just a couple of chapters before, Jesus is being tempted not by some sort of evil, but by the evil one, by the personal Satan. And so that's why I will be looking at this as focusing on the evil one. Because our spiritual battle is not just against evil in general. It's against a personal, hateful enemy who doesn't like Christians. Or the cause that we espouse, that we try to advance, the cause of the gospel. And so we do pray, deliver us from the evil one. We need our Father in heaven. That's what we're calling. You see, we start the prayer, our Father, deliver us from the evil one. And our Father loves us and cares for us, has sent the Lord Jesus to be our Saviour, drawn us to him by his Spirit. But now we live our lives. It's not like the Lord says, now you're saved, now you're on your own. Not at all. Because we know if we're left on our own, we are weak. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And the evil one is alive and active. And we know because the Bible tells us so. The Bible tells us about the reality of the evil one. I think, well, it happens, sort of osmosis. I don't know much about osmosis, but sort of something soaks in. That'll do, rough science thing. But we have this osmosis from the world. Stuff soaks into us, and we get the scientistic worldview of, well, spiritual things are out there, and look, there's no really evil one. It's just a way that the primitives used to speak, blah, blah, blah. And we can, without thought, just go along with that. Because you don't get on the news, not on the news, I watch on telly, you don't get saying, and Satan was active, blah, 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 and tell us. Yeah, you don't get that, right? And so we can get in this mindset, we don't think about it. Right? But the Bible tells us something different. He says, it tells us, and we know this, and we need to think about it, that it was the evil one who appeared in the garden and tempted our first parents, and they sinned. We know it was Job. Gets permission from the Lord, but gets permission. And he really gives Job a hard time. And there's numerous. The evil one tempts David to number the people. He accuses Joshua the high priest in after the exile before the Lord. And so we see in the Old Testament, the evil one's active, doing stuff to bring down God's people. And we just saw the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there's Satan trying to bring down Christ. And then at the end of Jesus' ministry, it says Satan entered into Judas. Ananias, we go into Acts. Ananias and Sapphira. And Peter says, when they try to pretend that they're better than they are, that they are being directed by the evil one to do this hypocrisy. And Paul repeatedly warns the young Christians against the evil one tempting you to unfaithfulness in your marriage, seeking to destroy Christian fellowship, this chapter and verses, but I won't give, but that's in Corinthians. And then one place which I think is very significant, where it says that even Satan himself can turn himself in, as it were, into an angel of light. And we say, oh yeah, it's just hyperbole. Well, look, you check out the Mormons. What's the Mormons behind there? Well, an angel appeared to Joseph Smith. Now, I don't argue with them about whether Joseph Smith was dodgy as far as that's concerned. Because if an angel did appear to Joseph Smith, which is quite possible, Satan himself can turn himself into an angel of light. You understand? See? And Muhammad as well, behind the Quran. Right? Now, I'm just saying we don't need to argue on that score. Even if it were so, the fact is that Satan can do that. But Paul says at a more mundane level, maybe, yes, just very realistic for us, is that if we hang on to anger in the Christian community, it's Ephesians chapter 4, by the way, if we hang on to anger in the church community, it gives the devil a foothold. As if it were, then in amongst the troops, Satan's got some sort of leverage that we've allowed because we're being angry and we hang on to it. And it happens, brothers and sisters. It happens. And so at the end of Ephesians, what does he say? He says, put on the whole armour of God. Why? So that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one. So put on the armour of God. And that's worth, it's worth slowing down and reading through that and thinking, what does it mean? You know, we can say the religious words. We can say the religious words, you know, put on the full armour of God. But thinking about what it means is very edifying when you think about it. Yes, okay, that's what we're doing this for, so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. And so Peter, he warns as well, it's not just Paul. Peter says that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking someone whom he may devour. So we read the Bible, what does he say? What does it say? It tells us the devil, the evil one, is real and dangerous and trying to bring us down in 2022. And I wonder if I realise that as I should. Well, it's good that we're here thinking about this, because this raises our awareness. It's part of God's word. Yes, this happens. And so there's a reason why we pray, deliver us from the evil one, because he's alive and active and against Christ and his people. Now, we need to have biblical balance here. Always, but biblical balance, which is not always easy to maintain. On the one hand, we should not be ignorant or naive. We shouldn't think we're immune from Satan's influences, that we're free from his attacks. We all know, I just came to my head, we all know how we can think that we're immune from the dreaded COVID Omicron, you know. Yeah, but I'm not saying anyone would be silly enough to say that, but you know, we go around, you know, it hasn't hit me, so I'll be okay. Well, we know that's not true. But we can be naive about it, and we can be naive about Satan as well. Right? And so that's why it's good we're aware of this. Biblically aware, not... the minister was scary today, I better take notice. But, you know, biblically aware, this is a real thing. Because the attacks on us might be subtle. So we don't see, because he tempts us to get angry, to love the world, to be embarrassed to stand for the Lord Jesus amongst our friends. You know, just ordinary things like that. And so we shouldn't be ignorant or naive, because the evil one's got our number. He knows us. And so we do pray and mean, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver me, deliver us. But I'm saying we need balance. We've got to be balanced here too, because we can be scared to walk out the door. Okay. Now, see, and it's not that way, because we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. Our Father will not let us go. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish," Jesus said. And that's great, and that's true. For all the attacks of Satan, he will not let us go. But he can damage us. We don't want to be damaged. But we trust that the Lord Jesus, and so we shouldn't swing too much to how terrible it is. But just remember that Paul encouraged the Christians in Romans 16:20 that God would crush Satan under their feet. James says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Yeah. See, so he's not all powerful in that sense. So we need to remember that. Keep close to the Lord. Yeah. Remember Peter. Peter says, "I'd like to walk on the water," you know. And Jesus says, "Okay, come on." Right. So he goes, he starts to sink. Now, he doesn't give a complicated prayer. What does he say? "Lord, save me." Right? That's the prayer. "Lord, save me." And the Lord saves him. Right? And sometimes we're in that situation and our prayer might just be, "Lord, save me." Right? Satan's getting at me. That's fine. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So, biblical balance. The evil one is defeated by the blood of Christ. He's not the dead enemy yet, but he's defeated. But he still seeks to do damage. And we can resist. That's why we put on the full armour of God. That's why we keep close to the Lord. That's why we pray. I don't know when you pray, but I reckon it's a good thing to pray in the morning and at night. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one." Yes. Because he is alive and active, not all-powerful. You see, it's not a cosmic arm wrestle. It's not like God and Satan, you know, as if they're almost equal. It's nothing like that. God's got it under control, and we call out to him, "Deliver us from the evil one." Well, some reasons why. Because the evil one fights against God's kingdom, and because we're citizens of that kingdom, he fights against us. And how can he damage us? Now, he can damage us physically. Now, I'm not saying every time something physical happens to you, that's Satan working. Because we aren't prophets, but we just need to be aware that he can be in places where he does us damage in that way. Loss of property, loss of family, loss of health. Satan hurts Job, doesn't he, physically, right? In all those ways. Satan can do it. "Deliver us from the evil one," we pray. Think of the woman bent over for 18 years. Right? She'd been sick, really bad, for 18 years. And Jesus said, Satan has kept her bound for 18 years. I don't know how it works, but I'm just saying that Satan's there. And that's why it's not that we need to know all the explanation. We need to know who can help us. And so when we're under pressure, deliver us from the evil one. Peter says to Cornelius that Jesus went around healing all who were under the power of the devil. So he can hurt us that way, but not just sickness, persecution. He can hurt us through persecution. You look in Revelation 12, there's the dragon, the devil or Satan. And what's he doing? He can't kill Jesus, he can't kill the woman, which is the church as a whole. So he is enraged and he went off to make war against those who obey God's commands and hold the testimony of Jesus. See, Satan is behind the persecution of Christians, and he's behind the persecution of Christians today in Afghanistan or India, north of India at the moment. The Hindu nationalists are giving Christians and other religious minorities, but Christians are involved in that, a hard time. And in Pakistan, and in China, and in North Korea, and in Saudi Arabia, and in Iran, and in Syria and Turkey. And you can go on. Satan is behind persecution. I mean, he was in the New Testament church, too, where it talks about Antipas, who was put to death in Pergamum. And you say, well, you know, persecution, what's the problem? What's the problem? Well, you see, it's painful and distressing to be persecuted. And you say, well, who needs that? Well, we don't want that. But see, the big problem is that under pressure, we can give in. See, that's why Revelation talks about those who overcome. It's hang in there. And Satan's trying to give us, put us, I should thank God more that I'm not persecuted like my brothers and sisters, because I just don't know how I could cope, right? Because I'm weak. Right? Yeah, it can be all tough up the front, but when the pressure's on, what was it? Was it Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, some boxer, said everyone has a plan until they get hit. Right? And we've all got a plan, you know, how great it'll be, you know, I've got it all under control until Satan hits us. No. Lead me not into temptation, deliver me from the evil one. And so that's the problem of persecution, because denying Christ is a temptation to the persecuted Christians of Revelation. That's why the Lord Jesus encourages them to hold on, to overcome. Don't give up. And so we pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. But of course, for us at the moment, it's not so difficult that way. Physical persecution, oh look, I don't know your situation, but probably not as bad as it is in other countries. But Paul still encourages us to put on the whole armour of God so that we might be able to stand against the devil's schemes, because it's subtle. See, Satan is subtle. See, think of the garden. It's all about trusting what God said, and the serpent raises this doubt in Eve's mind. Did God really say? And they said, you will not surely die. For God knows in the day that you eat, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. God's just rotten. He wants to keep you away from something that you really could have. Did God really say? See, and that's still the question that Satan asks. Did God really say? And that's why we need to read and think about what Scripture says. Because God did really say. And Satan says, did God really say? Look, if you do that, you miss out on all the fun. You don't have to miss out on all the fun. You don't have to miss out on being liked by other people. You don't have to miss out on retail therapy that you don't need to do. You'll miss out on promotion if you'll do that, you know. Did God really say? And that's tempting, right? Because, you see, it's just little things. It was a big thing. Someone said, Satan won't go down the street if he appeared dressed in red with a trident and a pointy tail. He'll walk down the street like a benign grandfather handing out lollies to the children. That's how Satan goes. See, and we're easily sucked in. Think of the wilderness of Judea. There's Jesus, and it's about trusting God. And so what does the devil go? He goes for a place of hunger. He's hungry. He says, turn these stones into bread. You see, really what he's saying here at the wilderness of Judea is, take the easy way out. Just worship me and all these kingdoms will be yours. Why go through the cross? You know, it could be so easy. Satan says, it's easy, subtle. Go for bodily weakness, bodily gratification. You deserve it. Don't trust God's program. Avoid the pain. Cut some corners. Don't be different for Jesus. Don't be over-righteous. People will think you're a wowser because it costs us to give money to help the persecuted, to run the local church. It can be painful not being liked, being different at work. You won't fake the boss's signature, as I heard one girl was asked to do, and she said no, right? But it can happen. It's subtle. You don't get drunk at the party and so on. I don't know what your temptations are, but Satan wants to tempt us, me and you, in our marriages, in our interactions with others. And the Lord says, be strong. Because if we give in, the evil one has a victory. We're not the salt and light that we should be. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so we pray, deliver us from the evil one. And what might be the result when we do pray, deliver us from the evil one? It may be the devil will go away for a while. See, he did with the Lord. He went away for a while. He said, to an opportune season. Didn't give up, but he went away for a while. Sometimes God takes the pressure off us. Maybe taking us out of a bad situation, my own situation. When I was young, around about 20, I was in a bad situation, and the Lord, ever been been in, and I have a question, but I ended up in national service. But the Lord took me away from a situation. You're right, going to the army takes you away from temptation. Well, it took me away from a temptation that I need to be taken away from. Right? That's what the Lord does. He did that in my life. Praise Him for that. It's great. The temptation might be taken away. The other person, if it's at your work, might get a promotion and they're out of the way. Or they might be sacked or whatever. You might get a promotion. You might get sacked. But see, the thing is that you pray, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from the evil one. The Lord has all sorts of ways of doing that. We can trust Him and look to Him to take the pressure off. And that may happen for us. That's one way. One way. But even when we get a break, we still got to remember what Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Where did I write that down? Somewhere. You know, was it John Howard did the don't be alarmed, be alert? Yeah. Well, we don't need to panic, but we need to be alert. You know, even when Satan's awake, we need to be alert. And so Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. So we just need to be on our toes. So the first possible answer is that the devil goes away. But another possibility is when we pray, deliver us from the evil one, the enemy doesn't go away. But we're given the strength to cope. Now remember Paul? Paul had the thorn in the flesh, messenger from Satan. Yeah? And did Paul like that? No, he didn't like that. Did he want it to go away? Yes, he wanted it to go away. What does he do? He says, I prayed 3 times, Lord, take this away. So Paul's fair dinkum when he's praying, he wants to get rid of this because Satan's attacking him. And what did the Lord answer? He says, my grace will be sufficient for you. I'll enable you to cope. We want it to go away. It may not go away. But then we're saying, Lord, help me here. And so the answer to our prayer, deliver us from the evil one, our Father's answer may be, I'll give you the strength to cope. Hang in there. Like Antipas in our brother in Pergamum. But of course that leads us to this third scenario, doesn't it? The evil one doesn't go away. He's allowed to keep the pressure on. The Lord's grace and strength keeps us holding on to Christ. Yet the evil one kills us. Really? Yes, really. That's possible. The evil one kills us. Now look, that's so far from our imagination here in good old on the Ballerine where it's on a sunny day. You never think of the possibility. It's happening in other parts of the world, even as we sit here. That sort of thing happens. And people don't give up. The Lord's grace and strength keeps us, and the evil one kills us. It was a situation, as I said, for those in Revelation. I've spoken of Antipas. He hung on. He was an overcomer and he'd been killed. The Christians in Smyrna know it's a possibility for them because the Lord Jesus says to them, be faithful even unto death. That's a horrible thing to think about. It's scary. It's in that situation where I need to remember, and I encourage you to remember too, like Paul said, it's better for me to die and to be with Christ, which is better by far. I need to remember that. And we need to remember that. But it's scary. He may kill us, but the Lord said to our brothers and sisters in Smyrna, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. How good is that? Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. It's okay. And so I give some examples from church history. In the early church, burn a little incense to the emperor. They said, go free, refuse, be thrown to the wild beast, or be burnt to death. What would I do? What would you do? Pinch of incense to the emperor. Polycarp was bishop of Smyrna. He was facing death for refusing to sacrifice to the gods of Rome. The Roman official urged him to think about how old he was. He says, renounce Christ and I will set you free. And Polycarp said, 86 years, I have served him and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Saviour? And they killed him. Think of Margaret Wilson, Presbyterian, Covenanter, 1685, teenager. She's tied in the Solway in Scotland, where the tide comes in, I think like it does at Broome, rushes in. Her older companion, the other Margaret, was tied at another stake further out, hoping that when they saw this other Margaret, the older Margaret, dying, it would cause the younger Margaret, Margaret Wilson, to recant. Because she was there, because she said, Christ is the head of the church, not the king is not the head of the church. That's what her sin was. And they were killing her. And she said that she, they said, say God save the king. He said, God save the king. And she said, God save him if he will. And they said, she's done it. She's done it. And they held her up and said, take the oath. And she wouldn't. She said, I am one of Christ's little ones. Let me go. And she drowned because she was faithful to King Jesus. But even in this century, 2015 in Libya, Islamic extremists marched 20 young men, known to be Christians, onto the beach, and these young men had been offered their lives if they would renounce Christ. They all said no. And they all were beheaded because they were faithful to Christ. Because they were Christians. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Not just in the past, but in present, the evil one is alive and active. And he persecutes. It might be subtle, it might be vicious, and it might lead to death. So brothers and sisters, let's know our enemy, the evil one, not to panic wrongly, but to drive us to Christ. Because we belong to Christ, he seeks our spiritual undoing. But he's on borrowed time and he knows it. Christ has overcome him for us. He will be destroyed. Know your enemy. He's alive and active. Because we belong to Christ, he seeks our spiritual harm. But he is resistible. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Keep close to your Saviour. Put on the whole armour of God. Resist the devil and pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are weak, but we pray for Christ's sake, because we belong to the Lord Jesus, we pray together for ourselves. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one this week, today. Lord, please lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, our lives are in your hands. Remember us, we pray. And not only us here, but our brothers and sisters around the world. Please remember them, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.